Good morning. How are you?
Oh, very well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I mean, this is actually one of the rare cases when I woke up on Sunday at 6:30 and I feel okay. So, by the way, what time do you get up in the morning?
It depends, but usually very early. I'm an early bird.
Wow. Well, like early, like how early?
Well, usually around 6 or even earlier from time to time. Yeah, it depends.
And what do you do so early? It's like the middle of the night for me usually.
Well, now it is very dark, so yeah, you can say that it's the middle of the night. Yeah. But yeah, it's I usually read something. Or the most productive time for me is early morning, so that's why I do a lot of stuff.
And what time do you go to bed?
Oh, very early. Sometimes even 9, like a child.
Well, yeah. I during the week I go to bed at about 10:30, 11. But I think if I had a choice, I would be more a night person than a morning person. And I remember when I didn't have an office job, I went to bed at 2-3 a.m. in the morning, and I could get up
good times.
Yeah, but you know, I was very productive. I mean, my creativity is very is on when it's nighttime. So I do believe that there are certain distinctions. I mean, some people say that there is no such thing as an early bird, there is no such thing as a night bird. You have to have the right schedule, and then if you do, then you will get up early in the morning and you'll go to bed just like you do at 9 or 10. But I guess, however, there is something for because I know for sure that I work better during the evening hours. So, yes.
There is something. You have this office job now, right?
Yes.
When do you get up usually? Because when I had an office job, well, first of all, I went to the gym, and after that I went to my office job. It started at 10, if I'm not mistaken. So I had like 2 or 3 hours in the gym, and then after that I went to the office. So I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow, you were very, very I don't know how to say. I mean,
crazy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd love to do the gym, unfortunately, I'm very short of time these days, so no possibility for me. Well, I get up at about 6. It was earlier in summer. Now I get up at 6. I go for a walk with my dog, or I go cycling with my dog about, usually 45 minutes, ideally 1 hour. And then I go home, have a shower, have breakfast, get dressed, and I leave home at about 8 o'clock in the morning. My work starts at 9, so it takes me 1 hour to get to work. But
you take subway, right?
My friend gives me a ride in the morning, and yes, but in the evening I have to go by subway. Yeah,
I hate subway.
Yeah, so I mean, ideally, of course, it would be better. I would love to run in the morning as I used to. Mm-hmm. So at that time I woke up at about 5:30, and I ran 1 hour. But of course, if you run you have to take a shower, so yeah. it'll take you longer to get ready. But I just don't get enough sleep, because I go to bed late at midnight, or as I said, at 11, ideally at 10:30. So I just don't get enough sleep. I can't get up at 5:30.
Okay. Should we start with the introduction?
Yeah, sure. By the way, guys, my name is Asia.
Yes, my name is Landish,
and this is our first podcast. We are very excited about it. Actually, this is our second podcast, but the first the first attempt was unsuccessful because
although it was very good, but unfortunately, no one will hear it.
Right, because we had some problems with Skype recorders. We are talking on Skype because I am in St. Petersburg and Lana, where are you right now?
I think that the name of the city won't say anything to to listen. So it's not Brezhne Chelny, it's a small city somewhere in the middle of Russia, just nowhere actually.
I believe it's quite famous in Russia for KAMAZ. And so this is our first podcast. We are very excited about it, and we are going to talk about different things, serious things and funny things. We are going to discuss some really crazy things that we found, we were able to find on the internet. So you are very welcome to join us. We will be very happy.
Yeah. And please visit our website. It's linguistov.ru.
Can you spell that?
Or ru. Linguistov, you mean? It's L-I-N-G, if I'm not mistaken. N. L-I-N-G-V-I-S-T-O-V. Oh. Don't they have the games in the United States? Yeah, the spelling games.
The B contests.
Yeah. I'll be rubbish at that.
I guess the thing is not about spelling. It's rather knowing how to spell.
I know, yeah.
So, yeah, there is even a movie with Richard Gere, The B Season.
The B Season? Oh, no.
Yeah, B Season.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, so linguistov.ru. This is our website, linguistov.ru. We would love you to visit this website and see what we do and support us. So you're welcome. And okay, let's start with the news. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that the news that shocked the world, is the news about the Petraeus scandal. If you know that, it's he is one of the most decorated generals in the United States. But I think that it was only the United States that were shocked by the scandal, maybe because he was some kind of a national hero for them. But for the rest of the world, it was, I don't know, the guy just cheated on his wife. That's it. and I think it was some kind of a soap opera. You know, I try to understand. First of all, I was watching the news. I don't watch the TV here in Russia because it's all corrupted,
right?
Nothing good. So I sometimes watch only the news, and most of all only the international news, so because the rest, if you watch news about Russia, it's only Putin, that's it. Every time. There was this woman who reported about this scandal, and she was so horrible. I think it took her almost 20 minutes to describe everything that was going on in the United States. And then I checked the newspaper, and it was like a soap opera. There were so many people who were involved. There was even some FBI agent who sent a topless photo.
What is it about? I mean, I'm not very particular about this. Yeah. So David, what's David Petraeus? How do you pronounce his last name?
David Petraeus, he's a general. He was the head of the CIA. So he had an affair with his biographer.
How did it come out? I mean,
so she, this woman, his biographer, she started to sending threatening emails to one of his acquaintances, some kind of a woman who was also in some military circles.
So what did she want?
So she basically said that get off my man. So don't. I saw you making some some signs to him.
Eye contact.
Eye contact. Yeah. That you were touching his leg. under the table, something like that. And she sent threatening emails to her and to some other people. And then this woman who received those emails, she contacted FBI, if I'm not mistaken. And this is how the whole affair was known by other people. And so David Petraeus, he resigned immediately after that.
Okay. Well, who wouldn't?
Yeah, I know. But it was so, I don't know, it wasn't very spectacular news. And
So it's just, if you're, and why was he married? I mean,
yeah, he was married. That's why.
I see.
Cheating on his wife.
I guess if you are cheating on your partner, then you should make everything to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
You should ensure that this will never come true.
And you know, the most incredible thing about it was so they exchanged emails. David Petraeus and this woman, Paula Broadwell. And there were like 30... this wasn't... there were a lot of people who are involved. So this woman, Jill Cayley, she's the one who received those messages. And she had an affair with another man who was...
Oh, so she was cheating on her cheater, basically.
No, she was cheating on her husband as well.
So she was also married. Okay.
She was married. I don't think that they had an affair, this Jill Cayley and David Petraeus.
Oh, okay.
She had an affair with another man who was... who succeeded David Petraeus in Afghanistan, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, somewhere. Afghanistan,
Yeah. So, and they exchanged over 10,000 emails. Can you imagine? Not 10, 20.
Wow.
From 20 to 30,000 emails. Can you imagine it? Can anyone during his life send someone?
How is that a way of literature called, so when the novel is written in the form of letters? Well, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So they could have published their email exchange.
I think that someone will, actually. That would be spectacular. It would be like a War and Peace.
Bigger, I guess. 10,000 mails, wow.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, but I think that was the only thing which astonished me.
Wow.
Because I couldn't imagine how can a person send over 20,000 emails to another person.
Well, I guess they were deeply in love. Maybe they couldn't.
Probably, yeah.
If
you have such an important job, such a responsible job, can you find time to spend it on writing emails?
I guess you can then.
Okay, after the election, so we discussed this already, but if you know, so when you, in the United States, when you elect a president, they give you on the voting polls, the places where you vote, so they give you not only the papers for the election of a president, but also different things, so they're like, almost books. you have to spend a lot of time in those voting polls. In different states, they allowed people, so they let people vote on the legalization of cannabis or marijuana. And of course, if you let a person vote on it, they're going to say yes. So now on the 6th of November 2012, two states, Colorado and Washington, voted to legalize the sale and possession of marijuana for recreational use. So as you know, different states in the United States of America have legalized marijuana for medical purposes.
Yoho!
Now there are two states where you can just buy and sell marijuana just for recreational purposes.
What does it mean, recreational purpose?
Recreational purposes, that means not for medical, just for fun recreation.
I do not require any papers, anything. I can simply buy and sell it.
Yes. So these are.
So you said Washington and what?
And Colorado. So
Colorado.
That's
I guess.
That's for your information.
Yes, I will make a note on that. I guess I will start thinking about moving to Colorado. I guess that is a very good reason. And in California, it's just a medical purpose.
Yeah, just medical purposes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about it? I mean, I think it's great.
I think it's great. Actually, you know, I have this difficult relationship with drugs. I swear to God, I never tried any drugs. When I was in the United States, so we lived, me and, some 6 or 7 other people, students all over.
I wonder what you mean by difficult relationship.
Difficult. It means that I am a person, I'm a control freak. And for me, it's difficult to take anything. I have a special diet even. I can't allow myself eat anything sweet. It means a control freak. I cannot drink. I cannot take drugs. I cannot eat fatty food. Anything which makes me out of control of my body.
Well, I really envy you. I mean, this is I guess very good to be able to control yourself.
I think that everything must be in some kind of limit because when you are control
moderation is the key.
Yeah, that's right. When you are a control freak, that means that if you eat something, if you drink something, then you have feel such a shame for yourself. It's horrible.
I know what you're talking about. I guess I guess we should have a separate topic on that.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I've never tried drugs. And in the United States, they we had those students I was talking about. So and they had some marijuana because we lived in some black district in Boston.
Okay.
So yeah, we had a lot of supply.
So they didn't spoil you there.
No, they offered me, try it, and I said, no, thank you.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, when I was in the United States, before that, I hadn't ever tried smoking weed, and then when I worked in the restaurant, one of my colleagues said, so, are you in? And I was like, what are you talking about? And they said, well, we're going to smoke marijuana. Do you want to try? So what's the situation with marijuana in Russia? And I was like, I don't actually know because I've never tried. And they said, oh, how come? We don't believe you. You are like 20 years old and you have never tried marijuana. And I said, nope.
that says America.
Yeah, and then they said, well, you should. And I remember that I tried smoking, and it was actually very weird. It was the end of my shift, and I had this plastic cup of Coke with me. Mm-hmm. And I remember that for some reason, I was not, it was the feeling that was very similar to being drunk, but I was not drunk. And I started talking Russian, mm-hmm. and my friends started laughing at me like, look, she's high. And I was trying to explain them in Russian that I was not high. And I couldn't understand why they didn't understand me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was such a mixed feeling. And then when I got home, my friend Elena looked at me and was like, what happened to you? That was the only time when I tried smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was very weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
But again, then after that, when I came to work next morning, I asked people, and all of them said, marijuana, it's a herb.
Mm.
It's not drug, it's a herb.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a conclusion that in the United States, a lot of people smoke weed, and they do not treat marijuana as a kind of drug.
Yeah.
It's something that everyone can do, since I don't know.
I think that maybe in future, in very very soon, I think, it will be the same as alcohol.
I mean, I am not pro marijuana. I'm not pro any kind of addiction, actually. In this case, I'm with you. But I think that cigarettes and alcohol are really more dangerous, much more dangerous, because they are legalized, because they kill people. Actually, how many people die out of cigarettes?
Oh, a lot. Yeah.
And I guess if we are talking about weed, then cigarettes and alcohol are much more dangerous. So there shouldn't be so much ado about marijuana. It's not worse as other legal drugs.
Yeah.
But anyway, they are crazy.
All right. So there were news that in Utah, a book about a lesbian family, so a family of two mothers and adopted children. This book was restricted. So it was not allowed in libraries, and that's why the Utah district was sued for segregating children's book about this lesbian mom.
So Patricia Polacco, that was the name of the woman. So she did what? She published a book?
Yeah, she published a book about two mothers, so the lesbian family, and
Was that a book for children or for adults?
Yeah, it was a children book.
Or was it something like a guide, how to be a lesbian mother?
No. It was just a children book about the life of children in this family, and about the love that those two moms could give them. So it wasn't advocating anything.
Mm-hmm.
But the district itself, so they decided, because in Utah people are crazy, they decided that this book advocates homosexuality. So it shows it in some colorful light, that it's great, it's fun. And that's why they decided that the book should not be present in libraries. So children could only have a written notice, some kind of a permit, and they could come to the library and show this notice, and only after that this book could be given to these children.
So actually this book is in the library, but
it is in the library.
It's not in the public access.
No, you cannot find that.
Well, that's I don't know what to say on that. I mean,
I think it's I really hope that in future, finally, that homosexuals will not be segregated like that, because I think that it is what it is. So that is the reality. So we have certain. I don't think that it's a bad thing. It doesn't advocate homosexuality.
I don't know. I have never seen the book itself. Maybe it does. I can't tell you exactly.
Is there anything bad about it?
You know, I mean, I am very I love all kinds of people.
Yes.
but you know, I, for example, imagine if you were a mother and your child brings this kind of book home. Would you be okay with that?
I think I would be okay with that.
I guess I would not show that to my child, but at heart, I would not be very happy.
Why not?
Honestly, because I don't know. Because, I mean, I would be a little bit alert, maybe. Like, why is my child interested in these kinds of books?
Mm.
Or why is
Because he's homosexual.
I know that I'm very tolerant, and I know that I will never act like a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, somewhere at heart, I do wish that this problem will never be in my life.
Mm.
I can't even call it a problem, you know? It's just, I mean, it's hard to be different. Let's accept it. It's the only thing that I'm worried about. If your child is gay, I would not, I mean, if my child is gay, I would not stop loving my child, of course, because mm-hmm. of that. But I would have to accept that his or her life will be much more difficult.
Yeah.
And because it's hard to be different. And I guess...
That might be on the only reason, I guess.
That's why I would prefer my future children to be straight, simply because it's better to be like most of us.
So. What do you think about the gay marriages in the United States?
I don't know. I guess legally there should be they should be legalized.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you live with your partner for many years and you own a house and then something happens and then what? You can't even claim the right for this house simply because you were officially not relatives.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are so many legal problems connected with that. I think they should be legalized
mm-hmm.
because of that. But at the same time, I do not really understand this kind of popularization. It seems that members of the gay community are acting even more aggressive than the straight community.
Mm.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm not very sure. What do you think about it?
I'm pro gay marriages. Well, actually, I don't know. I think it's great. That people love each other no matter what.
This is great. Yeah. Yes, I love it. I love this. Yeah. I love this. People, their attitude. They are mm-hmm. so brave. I even saw this video on one of the social networks about two girls from Nabережnyi Chelny who I can send you the link if I find it, mm-hmm. who organized a gay wedding.
Mm.
So they got married and it was actually very beautiful. They were wearing this red dresses, both of them. And it was very interesting the way they organized that. But then someone published this video on one of the news pages of mm-hmm. Nabережnyi Chelny, and a lot of people started talking about that, started discussing that. And I guess this is not what I
think that this kind of popularization, as you say, I think that it is good because we have a lot of people who are intolerant, especially here in Russia, narrow-minded, as you say. And if you popularize something, if you show that it's normal, that we do have it, and you don't have to be scared about it, I think that maybe people would understand a little bit. So that's why I think that maybe in the United States it's easier to be gay than in Russia. Yeah. Maybe because of that, because they have a strong society of gay people. And here it's still, I think, very hidden. So it's very hard for people to come up and say, yes, I'm gay. So that's why I think it is quite a big problem here. But I don't think that they have to be segregated like that. It's normal. It's what we have in life. So it's the same as with black people. I don't understand it. They are people.
Yeah. I have this colleague at work. She said that she had to go to the bank the other day, and when she entered the bank, she saw a lot of people from ex-USSR republic, like mm-hmm. Azerbaijan or, I don't know, Tajikistan. They were sending some money. They were transferring money home. And she said that there was like 35,000 rubles
mm-hmm.
That they were sending, and she was very upset about it. She said, oh, they come to our country, they steal our jobs, I hate them, blah, blah, blah. And I was just listening, and I was so surprised to see that there were so many negative emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, oh, and even in the United States, the president is black. What is going to be tomorrow?
And I was like,
What are you talking about? And I was, you know, I was just sitting. I mean, I and she was such a nice woman. I didn't even know that she was a racist, you know. And I was just sitting, and I was like, "What are you talking about?" And I didn't say anything, of course. But mm-hmm. I was very why, of course, because what's the point? I guess these people are deaf, and that's there is no point to talk about it with about. Anyway, I was surprised that to hear such things. That's I mean, what's the difference if you're black or white, if you're gay or straight, if you're a good person? That's all that matters.
We have a very funny news from Germany. So never mind driving while talking on cell phone. German police nabbed a driver who had wired his Ford station wagon with an entire mobile office. So he had there, first of all, he had a laptop.
Okay. Well, this is not surprising. I also sometimes had a laptop.
He had it on some kind of a station that was for the easy driver access. He had a printer, a router, a wireless internet stick, then WLA antenna and an inverter to power it at all.
Right.
He got only a ticket for the because he was doing 130 kilometers per hour. You know,
and browsing the internet and talking on the phone at the same time.
So they couldn't prove it. They couldn't prove that he was using that kind of a mobile office.
I love this guy.
Yes, it's great. You know, you have your own office in. People.
Omnia me me comporta.
That's right. So people freak out when someone uses a phone while driving.
An entire office with a portable office.
Yeah, I think that's it's good. I think for certain people, when you are so mobile, so you can drive around and still do some work. Must be very dangerous.
I remember a couple of years ago I had this when we started our own business connected with language school, and also we tried to do that on Skype, and I had a hired teacher who was working on Skype, and I gave her a couple of students to see how she'll cope with that, and she had a car, and one day I asked her, like, so how are you doing, and she said, oh, great, I love teaching English while driving. I was like, what? She said, you know, there's so much adrenaline while you're on a highway teaching English. And I don't know whether she was exaggerating, whether she was just joking, or whether that was really what she was doing. But she said that she was doing that on the 3G network on her iPad. She was driving on a highway or maybe around the city teaching English.
I never tried that. I have to try it.
Yeah, and I was like, and is your student okay with that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, she's okay. So that was really ridiculous. Well, I mean, good luck.
Yeah.
The German guy, this is great.
I think that.
But I wouldn't ever want to be on the same road with this guy.
Oh, yeah. But you never know. I think that this is some kind of a future for us. Everything starts to be very mobile. Maybe there will be more people like that. So, yeah, look out for them on the road.
Watch out.
Okay, so now the news from the science world. We have nerd news now. So they say that in Madagascar, not only pregnant women eat some kind of strange things, so now even men eat dirt, as they say.
As in have you read the book 100 Years of Solitude?
Yeah.
You remember there was a character who liked eating dirt?
Yes, I remember that.
So that was the first thing that came to my mind when you told about eating dirt.
So this dirt, yeah? So they did people there in Madagascar, but I don't think that it's only in Madagascar. I think that it's in some of the other countries. So there are 13 non-food substances that people eat. They include sand, soil, chicken feces.
Okay.
<Imagine it. laughs> Chicken feces. Then uncooked rice, raw plant roots, charcoal, salt, and ash.
Wow.
But the only thing that astonished me was the chicken feces. I have never tried
that.
I will ever try it.
Why are they so, I mean, what attracts them in chicken feces? And why chicken? Why not, I don't know, cow?
You don't have cow.
Cow feces, no? I mean, it's bigger. Yeah, chicken feces is small. Cow feces are bigger. Just one portion and it's ready. So you don't have to run after the chicken for the whole day. There's a hoops and then you're ready. There you go. as in a cafeteria. Maybe they have their own cafeteria with chickens.
That's a good idea. I think that
and then
have to
dress it with, and they dress it with sand and so raw plant roots as a, on the side. I mean, maybe we should start a business. If it's that popular.
No, for the cafe.
how are you going to call it, like, feces for you?
Mac feces,
yes. Drive-through feces.
I'm loving it.
That's great. But anyway, why do people eat such things?
I have no idea. Maybe it's a very good question.
I like the smell of the sand, though. I like the smell of the sand. I like the smell of
soil. It is very difficult to eat sand.
Have you tried it?
No, never. But I don't know. It's very... it's just stones. How can you eat stones?
I know that chicken eats stones.
Really? I don't know.
Chicken, and some other birds eat stones
because
they need them for their digestion.
Yeah, probably. But I don't know. It's people. Some time ago I read an article about Africa that they eat dirt, but they eat dirt because there's nothing else to eat. that was the article.
That's different when you eat something just because there's nothing else.
Yes, that was the point of the article. But here they say that just for fun, so they like it. That's why they eat it. I don't know. Maybe some. I have no idea because some women. Because when I was a child, I remember there was my neighbor who ate the chalk all the time.
Maybe she had problems with.
Maybe her system lacked something. I don't know. I never had a craving for chicken feces. So very hard to say.
Which is good, I guess. Otherwise, you would have a problem. Like, you know, if you had an office job and it's like lunchtime.
Open up.
You know, you put it in the plastic container and you... And you open up during your lunchtime. What would people think? I guess you are lucky that you have never craved for chicken feces.
Yeah, I think, yeah. That would be difficult.
Yes.
People will look at me with different eyes.
Yes, exactly. Okay, I guess, I don't know why they want it, why they have a craving for it. Anyway, have you ever eaten some strange food? Maybe... maybe not feces, but
no, because I'm very maybe I mix sometimes things which are not which do not really go well together.
Like milk and cucumbers.
No, I don't drink milk. But I sometimes can't really give an example. I sometimes eat I sometimes add honey to everything.
Even to, like, salty things?
Yes, sometimes. I remember when I used to eat buckwheat and I don't remember. So yes, I added honey to everything. I sometimes add the buckwheat with apples. I tried a lot of things, a lot of different things. I even eat apples with tomato sauce.
Apples wow.
Honey.
What I don't really understand, I mean, I do not like experimenting with food, so I do not mix things that don't go well together. But what I don't really understand, you know, there is this akroshka in the Russian cuisine. I can't really make, it's not just I don't like it, I don't understand how people came up with this idea. How was it invented?
I think so. There are two types, two types of akroshka.
One with
kvass and
second
one with
kefir.
Kefir, yeah.
So basically, you do what? You have boiled potatoes.
I think you take everything,
cucumbers,
everything that you have,
sausages,
then
kvass.
Kvass
or kefir. For those of you who are not from Russia, kefir and kefir is very similar to yogurt. I mean, but it's a bit sour, right? So, but surely it doesn't go well. In my opinion, it can't go well with sausage.
I think it's some kind of equivalent to pizza, to Italian pizza. So you take everything that you have in the fridge.
But you do not add kvass.
Yeah, I know.
I like this Olivier salad, which can be done without kvass from these ingredients. I mean, all this, everything you have in the fridge.
Maybe they took a salad. But maybe they took a salad and thought, well, we have to make a soup of it.
Maybe they got drunk and during some kind of a New Year party, there was someone who accidentally added kvass. And then it tastes good, you should try that. And then how it was invented. But anyway, I really don't understand that. And every time someone says, oh, akroshka, I'm like, I want to throw up.
My brother loves akroshka.
Well, ask him why.
okay.
Maybe I will understand that in future. I don't know. I want to thank you for listening to us.
Yes.
And this is our first or whatever second podcast, so of course it's not perfect. We will be working on making it better, and we would love to see you among our visitors on our social network pages. You can find them on our official website. It's www.linguistov.ru.
And you can send us emails. It would be great. We could read out your emails in our podcast. So you can find the email address on our website. It's info@linguistov.ru. Or you can leave them on our Facebook page or Vkontakte page. We will read it.
Thank you very much for listening to us, and you'll hear us next week.
Next week, yes, the second.
All right.